Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful time of worship. We owe all to you. We praise the one who paid our debts and raised our lives up from the dead. It is to you, Jesus, we owe all to you. Be with Brother Cal as he brings the message that he's worked so hard on this week, and just use him as an instrument as we hear from the preaching and teaching of God's word. Open our hearts that we may be changed and transformed by what we hear today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Be seated for a minute or two. I want to do this. This has nothing to do with the sermon, okay? But, you know, the scripture says that when something good happens to us, something good happens to all of us. And when something bad happens to us, hello? Well, something good has happened here in the last few weeks. We now have a new state representative up on Capitol Hill, and he's one of ours. Michael Langford, stand up. This is our new state representative here. Y'all be praying for him. He's going to need your prayers. Anytime you're in a position like that, we need to, and the scripture tells us to pray for our folks that are in leadership. Amen? All right. Now, it's the first Sunday of 2026. It's the first Sunday of 2026. We're not going back to 2025. We're going forward. And 2025 was a great year for the church, and he did a lot, and there were a lot of struggles that happened this year. We've come a long ways. But I want to introduce the theme for the new year to you just by reading one verse out of the book that we're going to be preaching through. You know, I preached through just about every book in the Bible, verse by verse. There's still five or six I haven't done. But I think I do my best preaching when I'm moving through a book. But our Sunday school teacher, adult Sunday school teacher, does that. And so that's kind of freed me up to do some other things. But, and by the way, when a pastor is preaching through a book, guess what you can do through the week? You can read where we're going to be going on Sunday. How many of y'all read your Bible every day? Every day? Every day. Amen. Well, we had about half of the hands go up. So this year, I'm praying that everybody at Second Mile Church will get their Bible out and read it. It's the Word of God for the people of God. Amen. All right. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I believe this is the key verse for this book that we're going to be going through. Hebrews chapter 6. And when you find it, let's honor God's Word, if you can, by standing to your feet one more time. Are you there? Therefore, now you know that's a key word, right? What's therefore? All right. Leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The theme for the new year, here it is, Jesus is better, so press on. Say it with me, Jesus is better, so press on. Say it one more time, Jesus is better, so press on. Now, you can be seated. I love the book of Hebrews. It's a fantastic book. You're going to love it too. There's a plethora of verses in Hebrews that we memorize and that are real special to us. You know, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Dwight's favorite verse, therefore, Hebrews 4:16, does anybody know it? That's it. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might. Don't put that up there. Take that down. We're not going to let Ellen lead y'all to cheating anymore this year. To obtain and find to help us win in our time of need. What a great verse of scripture that is. And then Hebrews 7:25 talks about that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who have come to him. I like to say Jesus saves from the uttermost to the guttermost, of which I'm chief. Amen? And then I love Hebrews 10:24 and 25 about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the manner of some, but all the more as you see the day approaching, we're to meet together. Tremendous verses in Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And then some of my favorites are over there in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the weight that was set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross and is despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So I don't. What's your favorite verse in Hebrews? God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's Hebrews 13. I could go all morning just on my favorite verses in Hebrews. But this is a special book. And so I'm just going to give you an overview of the book this morning. I hope that's okay. Not going to preach a message, but we'll start on that. Now, next Sunday, we're installing some new deacons. And I'm going to be preaching on servant leadership. And then the third Sunday of this month is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I'll be preaching on the sanctity of life. Martha Sitzler from the Hope Center will be with us. But I'll be preaching that. But then we're going to get started on Hebrews after that. So I thought I'd give you an overview. And maybe you'd have 3 weeks to just read through the book of Hebrews yourself. Amen. That's what Billy's doing. I hope y'all read through the book of Luke as he's teaching and preaching back there. So, are y'all with me so far? Let's first of all take a look at the message of Hebrews. The message of Hebrews is simply Jesus is better. 13 times in the book it tells us that Jesus is simply better. And he's not just better, he's superior to anything and anyone and everything. Now, Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors, said when Christ came, the best got even better. Now, I know I've been chewing on this for a while, but there ought to have been a Baptist amen behind that. When Christ came, the best got even better. And once you've known the best, why settle for anything less? Whoo, that's good. That'll preach right there. Absolutely nothing or no one compares to our incomparable Savior. He's superior to everyone and everything in every way. The book of Hebrews talks about how he's a better Savior. He's a better sacrifice. He's a better priest. He makes better promises. He gives a better destiny. He provides a better sanctuary. He provides a better country. How many of you know there's a country that's out and only can be seen by faith right now? And then he provides a better resurrection. No other book in the Bible magnifies the Lord and exalts the Lord Jesus Christ like the book of Hebrews. And so if you love Jesus, you're going to love the book of Hebrews. I mean, I hope I'm whetting your appetite this morning. This is going to be a fantastic year. What's the theme? Some of you had to do this. All right, let's look at the purpose of Hebrews. Y'all with me so far? Just giving a good overview of the book. Now, the book of Hebrews is probably written around 67 AD, sometime during that. that year. The temple was still in place. The daily sacrifices were still being administered by the priest at the time. And, you know, it wasn't until 70 AD that Titus, the emperor, decided to burn the city of Jerusalem and destroy the temple. And so at this time, and it had been going on for some time, persecution of these Jewish believers, people who'd been saturated in Judaism, who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, are now being persecuted. And that persecution was mounting and gaining momentum. And the persecution against these new believers was coming primarily from, guess who? Their Jewish brothers and sisters. You remember the Apostle Paul before he got saved? Remember what he was doing? He was going from town to town. He had letters from the priests to have Christians jailed, beaten, imprisoned, and in some cases martyred, like Stephen. Oftentimes they would host, anytime a believer, somebody in a Jewish family became a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, became a disciple, became a part of the way, they would host a funeral and completely kick that person out of the family. And so you got all this persecution going on. And so they've been ostracized from their families. Some of them have been beaten, imprisoned. They suffered financially, relationally, and socially. And so now they're being torn in between their new faith in Christ and their old ways of rituals, routines, and traditions that are heavily rooted in the Old Testament. And guess what a lot of them are thinking about doing? Yeah, that's right. Going back to their old dead, dry religion. That familiar life, which seemed kind of almost good enough. And they're wavering in their faith, thinking of giving up and going back to the old way of doing religion. And the writer of Hebrews begins to compare skillfully the old ways of Judaism over and against their newfound faith in Christ, arguing that Jesus is just simply better in every way. Over and over again, the author of Hebrews reminds them that Jesus is better and encourages them to press on in their maturity of their faith. Jesus and his salvation are superior to the Hebrew system of religion. Let me just go ahead and put it down plain and straight. Jesus is superior to any other religious faith group on the planet. He's number one. He's superior. He's better than anyone and everything. And so, I know nobody in here has ever had to struggle with their faith or been up and down or had doubts or thought about giving up. But I want to tell you what, if you've ever been there, Hebrews is the book for you. Oh, y'all, that's so good. Hebrews is the book for you. And it'll encourage you. Now, it'll challenge you to examine your faith. And you know what? That's okay. All of us from time to time should examine our faith. But there's no other book like it that exalts Jesus. So what about the author of Hebrews? Well, in most New Testament books anyways, the author's name is stated in the beginning of the book. But no author in Hebrews is given. Most of the New Testament books give a destination for the book or a letter that's written. For instance, in Paul's letters, he says, Paul, an apostle to all that be in Rome. Or you remember when he wrote to the Philippians, he said, to the saints at Philippi or whenever. But there's no destination given in the book of Hebrews. So scholars debate who authored the book. Some say Dr. Luke. Others, Apollos, that dynamic preacher in the early church. Others say even, you know, that great encourager, Barnabas, may have written it. And I, even though there are some, what some scholars would say there are some discrepancies as to Pauline authorship, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But we're not told that. And so it's ridiculous to argue back and forth. I'll tell you who wrote the book. The Holy Spirit wrote the book. Hey, that's the one who was behind it. And so this key verse that we've just read in Hebrews, is the key verse of the book, because the bottom line, these new believers were not moving forward in their faith. And can I just tell you, that's where a lot of church folks are. We think, oh, they got saved. Hallelujah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're done. Getting saved is just the beginning. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And He's to grow us in godliness, and we're to mature in our faith. That's why in so many churches, man, the power of God will be exhibited or it manifested, and somebody, some baby Christian will get upset about it. I love y'all enough. Y'all been there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so we need to move on. We need to press on this year. And so that's what this key verse is talking about. They were not maturing as they should. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, right here up top of your focal verse says this: of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. For though by this time you ought to be what? You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so you've got these baby Christians who have not moved on in their faith, and so they're thinking about going back from whence they had come. They needed to hear the ABCs of the faith all over again, and instead of feeding on spiritual meat, they're drinking spiritual milk. The word perfect is used several times, and the word means spiritual maturity. Let us move on to spiritual maturity. That's what the writer of Hebrews, that was his goal, that was his purpose, to get them going down the road. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, well, what is it? What's the second part of our mission statement? To teach what? Teach people how to follow Christ. Because you see, if you start following Christ, guess what He's going to do? If you've got the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead you and guide you and teach you so that you can become more and more like Him. Y'all with me so far? So that's the key verse, 6:1. So that's why I say our theme is Jesus is better, so let's press on. Now, let me close with this. There are some warning passages in Hebrews. And I mean, it's caused a lot of trouble with scholars. And there's been a lot of debate about some of these passages. And we're going to deal with them. We're going to deal with them. One of them is found in Hebrews chapter 2. Where I'm not going to have time to read them all. But Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 4, 13. The third warning is found in chapter 5 and verse 11 through chapter 6 of verse 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 39. And Hebrews chapter 12, 15 through 29. And so it brings, these warning passages are a challenge to us not to give up on our faith. They warn against drifting from God's word. These passages warn against doubting God's word, degenerating from God's word, despising God's word, and departing from God's word. There's a danger in all five of these warnings, and we're going to... Is your appetite getting wet? I hope so. And I hope you'll get in your Bibles this year like never before. And by the way, having said that, I wish you'd... We haven't pushed this. We haven't even promoted it. But you know what? Jesus said, when you fast, do it like this. I hope all of you would join me in some kind of fast in January. That God would do a great work in your life. And nothing gets you on praying ground any quicker than abstaining from a meal. Abstaining from the most natural desire, and that's to eat. So I would ask you to join. We didn't make a big push on this like we did last January. I've still got all those prayer points. If you want those, I'll get them to you. But maybe fast from a meal a day. And during that time, just spend time praying. Or maybe do a 20. I talked to several people who are already involved in a 21-day Daniel fast. just spend some time fasting and praying this month, that God would do a great work in your life, and that you'd begin to grow and mature in your faith and become what God wants you to be. Wouldn't that be a great prayer? The church would rise up and become the church. I believe he's going to do it in 2026. I believe that way. But bless God, if you don't believe it, it ain't going to happen for you. But I believe what the Word of God says. And if we'll get in it and do it and believe that Jesus is better, that he's superior to anything and everything and everyone and anything, and we're going to do our dead level best to move into the areas of maturity that he wants us to move in, I believe God will do a great work here at Second Mile Church. You say, we got to get ready for revival. I don't know who, I think it was Al, I don't know which, anyways, while the kids were up in Hearts on Fire, they bought me a black baseball cap that says revival on it. It's black and the letters are white. And I wore that thing yesterday morning up to a 8 o'clock prayer meeting on the courthouse steps. There was about 28 or 9 of us up there, I think, yesterday morning. And you know what they all looked at? That revival hat. And so I've got to go get about 29 revival caps. But you know what? If we'll do the things that the book of Hebrews tells us to do, you'll have personal revival. I promise you, you will. If you want it, you can get it. If you want it, you can get it. And especially if you begin to add a little fasting and prayer on the front end in January, whoo. So I'm excited about 2026. And you see, when you give an overview of a book, you get through quicker. It's only 9:16. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to call on a few of you to pray. This is unrehearsed, unorchestrated. And I'm just going to call on, if we had a great church council meeting this morning, there's Audra. She was in that meeting. Just take a minute to pray for this year, would you, Audra?
Lord, we come before you to the throne of grace, Lord. Thank you that we can come to you wholeheartedly at any time, at any moment. Thank you, Lord. You love us so much. Mm. Lord, I pray you fill our church from wall to wall, pouring out in both services.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I cover Kingwood as they grow, as we seek new leadership.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray for the seven pillars of our church council, Lord. Come down and direct us, lead us, and let us hear from you that you give us the strength and the will and the knowledge and the power to lead our church and our people as you see fit. Lord, we're here to praise you and worship, and I thank you that you sit among us right now and today. You are so good, and you are so much better than what we think or know. I thank you for our meetings. I thank you for our pastor, Lord, that he listens and he's prayerful to you, that he preaches as we hear what we need to hear direct from you. Lord, bless us.
Hallelujah. Dick Littleton, lift up prayers for our deacon ministry this year, would you?
Gracious Father, I thank you for the men who have agreed to serve in our
Yes,
church.
Father.
I thank you for the spirit of openness that I found in that church. Lord, we know this is not a resume builder, this is a working group.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for all these men, Lord. As far as going forward into this coming year, I read something that the late Charlie Kirk wrote before he was killed. And I think it sums up our deacon roles for this year. Lord, I would pray that we might welcome without judgment, that we might love without condition, and that we might forgive without limit. Help us, Lord, in this coming year to work hard and serve this body. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Matthew, pray for our youth and children's ministries, would you?
God, we just thank you for this morning, God. We thank you so much for your grace, your salvation, God. Really, God, I just pray over our youth, our children, our college, just this entire next generation. We just know that they're not the next generation of the church, that they're the now generation.
Hallelujah.
They are the church, God. And so I just pray your grace, your spirit, over this next calendar year, God, as we've got D-Now, that's going to be next month, God. I just pray expectantly, God. We know that when this size of group of believers are together, God, the impact that prayer can have.
Mm-hmm.
So we just all come together and pray expectantly for life change, God, in our youth, in our college, in our children, God. We just thank you so much for this opportunity, God. And in a room this size, God, there's a good chance that someone doesn't know that for you.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray that today is the day of salvation, God. We just thank you for your grace and mercy.
That's a good transition into an altar call. If you're with us this morning, the best way to begin 2026 is with a relationship with Jesus. And you have to come to him his way. And if you have not done so, you come with childlike faith, believing that he is the Son of God and that he died and paid for all of your sin debt. Believing that he's no longer dead, but he's alive. And surrendering your life to him, whatever time you've got left. Giving him your all. Making him the Lord of your life. If you'd be willing to do that in a prayer of however you want to word that, God will save you right here today. And maybe there's some more of you that really need an extra measure of God's grace right now. To move down this road of maturity and perfection. And the war room will be open. People to pray with you and over you. Whatever God's spoken to you about this morning, I pray, Father, that you would have your way in our lives and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please stand quietly and reverently to your feet. Brother Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.